This morning, we're going to begin a brief series called A Meaningful Life. Everybody wants a meaningful life. Everybody wants their life to matter, to count for something. Nobody wants their life to be empty. Nobody wants their life to be a big zero. No, we all want to make a difference. We all want to feel alive. And you know, in this world, you see so many people just in their pursuit of happiness. They're always running after something. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace. They're trying to find fulfillment in life. There has to be more than just another day, another dollar. There has to be more than just get up and go to work and come home, watch a little TV, go to sleep, repeat. There's got to be more than that. There's more to life than that. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Jesus very boldly, very plainly tells us who he is, that he is the life. And we need to know this not only so that we can boldly tell the world that that's where real life is found, but also we need to know it so that we are not distracted, so that we do not drift away, so that forever it is settled in our heart that he is the source of life to us. So many in this world looking for life in all the wrong places, but even believers need to be reminded that Jesus is the source of life. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Boy, a lot of the time the Bible just speaks so plainly. I mean, there might be a lot of things that takes time to learn and to understand in the Scripture. This is not one of them. It's pretty plain. It's pretty clear. If you've got Jesus, you've got life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have any real life. Now, you know, when we're talking about life that way, I know it's kind of strange to a lot of people because they think that as long as you got a heartbeat, you got life. But there's more to life than just existing. Straightforward. If you've got Jesus, you've got life. Yeah, that's right. That's good. No Jesus, no life. You know, in the book of Genesis, it tells us at the very beginning how that God spoke everything into being. But then when he got ready to make man, he made man from the dirt. Ladies, give us a little slack here. We were made from dirt. And then some people say God said he could do better. That's not in the Bible. But then he took a rib from the man and he made the woman. So at least give us a little credit here. We donated the rib, right? But here's what the Bible tells us when he made man. It says that he breathed the breath of life into him and he became a living soul. And you need to understand, this is different than all of the rest of creation. That not only did God form man from the dirt of the ground, but then he breathed the breath of life into him. And he became a living soul. You see, we were created in his image to have a mind, a will, and emotions, a living soul. He breathed that breath of life into us, and we became a living soul. Without that breath of life, it would still just be so much dirt. And that's what the evolutionists have always said. We're just a bunch of molecules arranged in some kind of haphazard fashion that turned out pretty good. But life is more than that. No, it is the breath of God breathed into us that made us a living soul. And apart from him, the source of life, there is no life. He's not only the creator of all life, he's the sustainer of all life. But life is much more than just breathing and having a heartbeat. It's more than just growing up and getting married and one day retiring and then dying. That's not all there is to life. No, there's more. There's more than just being successful and having money and fame. There's more to life than just living for the weekend like a lot of people do. There's more to life even than having family and friends. As wonderful as that is, there's more to life than that. Real life is only found in the Lord. And oh, how we need to be reminded that apart from Him, everything else is empty, because we were created by Him and for Him. People searching for meaning, searching for purpose, fulfillment, looking for some kind of excitement in their life to make them feel alive. John 1:4 says that in Him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. What is life? It's that light inside a person that only Jesus can give. Comes from Jesus, nowhere else. And all the things that people look to try to fill up their lives, listen, even the good things, those can all be lost or taken away, but the life that Jesus gives, it's forever. Amen. It lasts into eternity. Nobody can take it away from you. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus tells us plainly why He came, so that we could have life. And so we could have a life that's overflowing with life, the very best kind of life. It is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So many people falsely accuse God and blame God. See, it is the deception and the work of Satan to make people think that if you really serve God, if you really live for God, well, God's going to keep you from enjoying life. God's going to keep you from being able to have a good time and be blessed. Listen, that's the enemy's work. Those are the things that Satan does. He steals, kills, and destroys anything that's good. See, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Your heavenly Father, the one who gave His Son for you, how will He not also along with Him freely give us all things? That's Romans 8:32. I'm telling you, our heavenly Father, He wants to give us the very best kind of life, a life overflowing with life. But we got to know that that life, that real life, only comes from the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that without God, we were dead in trespasses and sins. This is spiritual truth. We were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. You see, in the garden, God told Adam and Eve, "You can eat from any of the trees in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now think about this. We read later that there in the midst of the garden was the tree of life. They didn't eat from the tree of life. Instead, they disobeyed God. Genesis 2:17, the Lord told them, "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die." And they surely died that day. Adam lived 830 years. For 830 years, he kept drawing breath, his heart kept beating, but he died spiritually that day. He was separated from the life of God. And so it was that every person born in Adam's race was born spiritually dead. Don't get quiet on me. I know some of you are thinking real hard right now, but listen to me. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. Because everybody was born in trespasses and sins. Everybody was dead in trespasses and sins. We have to be born again, to be born of the Spirit of God, so that we can have that life that only comes from Him. You know, if you read Genesis chapter 5, it's one of those places in the scripture where it tells us this person had this child and this person had this child. But it's kind of interesting because one reason is because these people all live so long. They live for hundreds and hundreds of years. But even though they lived long lives, I see, life is more than just living a long time. They lived very long lives, but this was their story. And this person lived so many years, and then they had sons and daughters, and then they lived this long and they died. And this person had sons and daughters, and they lived this long and they died. And this person had children, and they lived this long and they died. And it just goes on and on and on like that until it comes to the man Enoch. And the scripture tells us that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, some would suppose that maybe that means he died, but the book of Hebrews tells us plainly that Enoch did not see death. But we can all learn something from Enoch. Life is more than just living and then dying. Life is about a relationship with God. It is about walking with the Lord. It is about knowing God in a personal way. That's where the real life is. It's only found in Him. He's the source of life. You know, the world will offer you all kinds of things to make you feel alive. But all of those substitutes can't give life. Only Jesus, the one who said, "I am the life." You can't get it from success. You can't get it from money. You can't get it from sex or romance. You can't get it from pleasure. You can't get it from a bottle, even if it says High Life on it. It's false advertising. You can't get it from a pill. You can't get it from a thrill. You can't get it from the American dream. You can't get it from what they call the good life. I'm telling you, you can only get it from Jesus. He is the source of life. A lot of people look for life in a thrill, in excitement. It can almost just, for some people, it just becomes an addiction. They're just constantly looking for something to make them feel alive. I don't know if this is true or not. I suppose it's not. But the story is that the National Transportation Safety Board had a five-year plan with automakers where they put little black boxes in four-wheel drive trucks so that they could record what happened before a fatal crash. And they said around the country, the vast majority of the time, the last words that were spoken before a fatal crash was, "Oh no," except in Texas. And in Texas, the most often last words were, "Hey, watch this." Oh, you laugh because we all know somebody, or we are somebody. But here's the point. I tell you, people are looking for some moment of excitement, and a lot of times it is just that desire to feel alive. Now, that story is probably not true, but the next one is even stranger than that, and it is actually a true story. Many of you may have heard the story of Lawn Chair Larry Walters. Back in 1982, Larry was a truck driver, 33 years of age, and during his spare time, he would usually sit in his backyard in his lawn chair and drink a six-pack of Pepsi, maybe. And Larry, just out of abject boredom one day, decided that he wanted to try something different. And so he goes to the store and he buys 40-something weather balloons, big, huge weather balloons, and he gets a tank of helium. And he begins to fill these balloons with helium, and he first secures his lawn chair to the ground, and then he attaches these balloons to his lawn chair. True story. Don't Google it right now. Wait till after service, all right? True story. And there's different accounts, but the basic story is that Larry filled 40-something weather balloons with helium, attached them to his lawn chair, and then he got him a big bottle of Pepsi. Must have had a lot of Pepsi to, I'm just saying. And he gets a BB gun because he figured that would be his method of descent. And then he gets a couple of friends to cut him loose. Larry thought that he would rise above his neighborhood and then shoot some balloons out and descend. But instead, Larry ascended to 16,000 feet, 3 miles up into the air, 16,000 feet. He happened to live close to LAX, Los Angeles Airport. And he was in the landing pattern of airplanes. Two pilots reported having seen him. Can you imagine what the ground control thought when one of these pilots says, there's a guy in a lawn chair out here? That pilot had too much to drink. Let's get him down. What about the kid telling his mom, Mom, there's a guy out here. I can see a guy in a wheelchair. I'm sure that Larry was just hanging on for dear life for a long time. But eventually, he did begin to shoot out some of those balloons and descend. The balloons finally got caught in some power lines, caused a power outage for 45 minutes in the area. And it left Larry hanging just a few feet above ground. And amazingly, he was able to climb down, get out, unscathed, unharmed. And of course, not only were news crews waiting for him, but law enforcement as well. The FAA fined him $1,500. But Larry, all of the sudden, not only had his moment of excitement, he also had some fame. Larry began to travel as a speaker, motivational speaker, but it was short-lived, didn't really have much success. He appeared on The Tonight Show on David Letterman, but it all just faded away all too quickly. The rest of the other areas of Larry's life didn't go that well either. He had a girlfriend for 15 years, but she eventually left him. He never married, never had children. He worked as a security guard some, volunteered to help with the forest rangers, and he loved to go for hikes out into the forest. So Larry, one day at 44 years of age, went for a hike out into the forest and shot himself in the heart. Larry never found what he was looking for. So many people in our world, oh, they may not go to the extremes that Larry did. It may not be as radical, but they're looking for something. How we need to be able to tell them what that something is, and how we need to forever settle it in our own heart that there is nothing and nobody else that can satisfy other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people look for life in things. I think especially here in America, so many people think that their fulfillment is going to be in prosperity, in their success, that once they achieve certain things, they're able to buy, when they finally get that house or this nice car, or some maybe right now you're thinking about that next iPhone, but they think, oh, this will make me happy. This is going to make me happy. I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. It doesn't matter if you win the lottery. It will not bring you fulfillment. In fact, if you can learn anything from the rich and famous in our country, it's that it can still leave you empty. Apart from Jesus, it's still empty. Jesus said it in Luke 12:15. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. There's no life in stuff. It's not about who has the most toys. In the early days of the Dallas Cowboys, after they had won a Super Bowl, Tom Landry said that the overwhelming emotion in a few days among the players was that it was empty, that there must be something more. Here these guys had achieved their dream. They had reached the pinnacle of success in their field. They had money and fame and fortune, and yet it turned up empty for them. Now, Tom Landry was a Christian, and he knew what that something more was, but it sure wasn't in money or fame or fortune. Some people think that life is found in a relationship, but life is more than love and romance. As important as relationships are, they can't satisfy the longing in the soul that is inside of every person that only Jesus can fill. Jesus met a woman, we call her the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman who came to draw water. And Jesus talked with this woman. She had had five husbands. And Jesus told her, and now you're living with a man who is not your husband. This woman had had five husbands, and now she's in another relationship. She is searching. She is looking for something. And Jesus tells her, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask and he would give you living water. You see, he knew there was a thirst inside her soul that she's longing for something, but it wouldn't have mattered if she had 10 husbands. They can't fulfill what was in her heart, in her soul. And Jesus said, if you would ask, you would receive living water. Life-giving water. Where do you get that? Jesus. What is this gift of God? Living water. Romans 6:23 tells us that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life. You know, a lot of people don't have a clue about what eternal life is. It does not mean, well, you get to go to heaven. No, it is so much more than that. But you need to understand, eternal life is not eternal existence. Every living soul is going to exist for eternity somewhere. Eternal life, Jesus defines for us in John 17:3. He says, this is eternal life. We've got to take Jesus' word for it, all right? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? It is knowing God personally. It is having an intimate relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. It's not just living, existing forever. No, it's all about having a relationship with Him. That is that living water that satisfies, comes from knowing Him. Not knowing about Him, but knowing Him personally. That's where the abundant life is. That spring of living water coming up on the inside of us. It is that relationship with Him. So many spend their whole life trying to find something that satisfies that longing in the soul. In fact, through history, even a lot of great people that did great things, they were never really able to find that satisfaction for the soul. And one of the greatest people in the scripture is the man Solomon. the king, Solomon. He had it all. He did it all. He had fame, he had power, he had wealth, he had wisdom, he had success, he had women. Everything imaginable. Second Chronicles 1:12 tells us wisdom and knowledge. This is what God says. God said to Solomon, all right? Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings had or have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Nobody's going to have as much wealth or honor or wisdom. Second Chronicles 1:15 tells us a little bit. Also, the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones. You can walk out here in our parking lot, and over here on one side, we have some stones laid over there. It's supposed to help keep the water from washing the dirt away. Well, in Solomon's day in Jerusalem, those must have been silver and gold. It was as common as stones. Can you imagine what that place must have looked like? That was the wealth, the splendor of Solomon. And people would travel great distances to come and see or to talk with Solomon and hear his wisdom. He had it all. A lot of people in this world think that the key to their happiness, fulfillment, is romance. Solomon had that too. You ever read the book, The Song of Solomon? It is nothing but a story of romance and passion. He knew all about that. But it never satisfied. It could not fulfill. It couldn't bring him the life that he was searching for. In fact, the scripture tells us that Solomon had 700 wives. Some people think, well, if I can just find the one. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, I know a lot of people would say, well, he must not have been too wise, right? 700 wives and 300 concubines, and yet it did not fulfill him. I tell you, it doesn't matter how much pornography you look at, it will never satisfy. You see, there's no amount of wealth you can search, you can scrape and fight, get all you can, it'll never satisfy. No amount of recognition, achievement, and success. Solomon did all of that. I just want to read a little bit to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And I'm going to read this from the NIV, it just reads a little easier, but I want you to see that Solomon had 100 times more than anybody else achieves in their whole life. And yet, it never satisfied. He says, beginning in verse 1, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. Searching. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. You see, all these achievements and accomplishments didn't mean anything. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, singers, and a harem as well as the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And all this, my wisdom stayed with me. Now listen to verse 10 and 11. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. I actually like the King James in verse 11 at the end. He says that it was vanity and vexation of spirit. He said it left me empty and troubled. All that he achieved, denied his heart no pleasure, anything he wanted. And he said it was meaningless, empty. You see, when we try to substitute anything for God, it's going to bring disappointment. Right. How could this man, who had been so blessed by God and given so much wisdom, how is it that his heart turned away from the Lord? It was because he tried to satisfy himself with the things of the world. He tried to satisfy himself marrying women from other countries. I'm just telling you, it was those very things that drew him away from God. And there is the danger when we allow ourselves as believers to begin to look to anything else other than Jesus to truly satisfy us. Jeremiah 2 and 13, the Lord says, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water. You see, that spring of living water, the source of life, he says, they've forsaken me and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now, if you're not a country person, you might not have ever been around where there were cisterns, but a cistern was just a reservoir or a big container where they caught runoff water or rainwater so that they could have water. And the Lord is saying that here's the two sins. Not only did they walk away from the source of life, the living water, but now they're trying all these other things, trying to satisfy, and God says they don't even hold water. It'll leave you empty. And here's the danger of all these other things, is that it dulls your hunger for God. Oh, how we as the people of God need to hold fast to this truth that He is the only one that satisfies. How we need to be wise that we don't allow the things of this world to distract us and pull us away from God. We don't allow stuff in this world to dull our passion for God. I want to close with these verses from John chapter 7. I'm going to read 37 through 39. Jesus, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, listen, he still makes that plea. If anybody's thirsty, if there's a longing, there's a desire in your soul, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And I want to tell you this morning that sometimes, you know, we begin to drift away. Sometimes we allow ourselves to begin to look to other things. We need to come back to Jesus. We need to put our faith and trust in Him fresh and new and realize that He's the only one that can truly satisfy. Amen. He goes on in verse 39. It says that He spoke this. Or it says, He spoke this concerning the Spirit whom those believing in Him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, it is the Holy Spirit inside of us that satisfies, that living water that flows through us. And I encourage you, be filled with the Spirit. Listen, The answer is not, we got a little Jesus and we need to add some other things in our life so we're full, so we're fulfilled. No, the answer is that we fill up with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to satisfy the longings of our soul. And you know what? When we put God first, when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He adds all those other things. We don't miss out on anything that God has for us. I'm just telling you, the Lord wants to give us that abundant life. But the answer is that we look to Him and Him alone as our source. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for prayer partners to come.